All right, it's great to see everyone here together this evening. We've had a beautiful day. I know it started off cold, at least to me. It's just beautiful weather. The sun came out, warmed up a bunch. It's a great day. Thankful to God that He gave us this day, and we have another opportunity to gather together and worship. And so let's be thankful for that. Now we're going to continue here in our sermon series in the book of James. So if you could open your Bibles there. And I know I've talked about this illustration before. I think in our Bible class, our Wednesday Bible class, we talked about this when we're just talking about how to approach the Bible. And I mentioned this illustration here. And what we're going to see here in this text is that, basically the Christian has an obligation to look intently at himself in the mirror of God's Word and to be honest with that reflection. And so we're going to have this illustration here of a mirror. And the mirror is going to be God's Word. Now we know what a mirror is, right? And I was trying to think in my mind of mirrors and... No PowerPoint tonight? We'll catch up in a second. But I was thinking about, have you ever been really sick? And, just terrible sick, and you go to the mirror to see how you look, just to maybe confirm that you look as bad as you feel. Have you ever done that? You just feel awful, and you go to the mirror, and you're like, oh, yeah, I'm pretty sick. I look sick, right? You know, that's the purpose of a mirror, to reflect what's going on, to show us what we need to fix, to show us if there's a problem. And we look at that reflection and say, I need to comb my hair. You know, my tie doesn't match my shirt or whatever it is. So I want you to think about this here. And when we think about this illustration that we have here in our main study text, verses 21 through 25. Now it's going to be that prezi, the mirror of God's Word. That should be the one. Well, I'm going to go ahead and read the text. There we go. All right, now we're cooking here. So what we're going to do here, we're going to read the main text, and then we're going to back up a little bit to get the context, right? So we're going to see here, really, as God's children, I think the text is really impressed upon us. Sometimes we need to slow down, take a step back, and see what's going on, and examine our spiritual lives, to see if we are measuring up to the standard of the mirror, the mirror of God's Word. And we need to understand that we play an active role in our salvation with our trust and our obedience, which makes up our faith here. So let's just read just a little bit here. Verses 21 through 25. We heard part of it in our scripture reading. But read it again here. Therefore, so you have a connection there to a previous thought. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness, overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls, James writes for us, by agency of the Holy Spirit. This implanted word is able to save your souls, right? But, verse 22, be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And so I want you to notice here, just in what we read, of course, the implanted word, the word, the word, and the perfect law of liberty. That's what this section is about. We're talking about the Word of God, and the illustration of the Word of God is a mirror. And you think about the purpose of a mirror. He's saying that's the purpose of the Word of God in your spiritual life. Now, a little bit of a recap to kind of understand all of this, what we've already looked at here in our text. Now back up, if you remember verses 1 through 8, God's given us gifts in the form of various trials. Right? He loves us, He knows what we need. He knows that if we are faithful through these trials, we're going to be stronger in our faith on the other side. And that's hard for us to understand sometimes. But we will be stronger, more mature. And then verses 9 through 11, this is just a short summary here. We're given an example, a statement that's hard to understand. And this would have been especially true for those first century Christians who had a misunderstanding of wealth and poverty. It's a trial to be rich. It's a trial to be poor. But then verses 12 through 15 that we talked about last week, James is reminding the reader here that the one who perseveres through any of these trials and or temptations, they will receive the crown of life. And to the one that doesn't persevere over temptations, of course, you can't blame God. And if you remember last week, the end result of that is going to be death. God doesn't tempt us when we give in to temptation and sin. That's on us, right? We talked about that last week. I want you to note verse 17 here. We have a God that does not change, and that's wonderful news. We know He doesn't lie. He cannot lie. We know He doesn't change the rules in the middle of the game. He doesn't change, and He's our foundation. He doesn't go anywhere. He's a very steady factor for us. And then James starts to get into the meat of the matter here, verse 18. And here, of course, we read the word of truth. And so if you were to back up to verse 18, of His own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth. How do you know what the will of God is? Well, the word of truth. How do you obey the will of God? Well, it's the word of truth. You read it, you understand it, you respond to it, right? That we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So then, He's still talking about the word of truth, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Now, this, if you will, when you put it all together, is getting to the point here for me to think about something concerning the word of God. How am I going to respond to the word of God that leads us to, it produces the righteousness of God? There at the end of verse 20. You want the righteousness of God? Well, you need to respond to the word of truth properly. And so when you see that, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, what's he talking about? Swift to hear what? Slow to speak against what? Slow to anger against one. Well, simply the word of truth. Let's talk about your response to the word of truth. The will of God that brings about the righteousness of God in your life, if you'll hear it, if you'll respond to it, if you allow it to do its job on you as much as possible, right? And so we're talking about the word of God here. And there again, in verse 21, we read it. Think about it again. Therefore, he says in verse 21, lay aside or put aside, depending on translation you're reading from here, you're going to lay aside basically sin and receive with meekness, you get the right mindset here, right mind, right heart, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, when you think about all of this that's going on here, I want you to think about three main points here in this lesson that we're going to consider concerning examining ourselves with the Word of God. And, you know, hopefully it will lead us to ask and answer some questions. Ask and answer some questions about our spiritual lives as reflected in the mirror of God's Word. And remembering here that this mirror represents the Word of truth, right? And this mirror, when I think about it, and I'm honest with this here, is going to show me who I really am. So the Word of God, the mirror, it's going to show me who I really am. And again, I have to think, what is my response going to be to that reflection in the mirror of God's Word? Just like when we look in a regular mirror, you know, you got one in your bathroom, I'm sure, when you look at that mirror, if you're ugly and you don't like what you see, is that the mirror's fault? No. Now, if you break the mirror, is that going to change what's going on? No. If you get angry at the mirror, is that going to fix something? No. If you walk away from the mirror, does that change anything? Right? If your hair's messed up, you got spinach in your teeth, your clothes are dirty and need ironed, and you see that in the mirror, what's the answer going to be? Well, I need to, you know, comb my hair, brush my teeth, get a tie that matches, you know, iron my clothes, whatever. Whatever the problem is, that mirror is going to show me. Now I need to respond to what it's showing me. Same thing with the Word of God. That's his point here. You know, James is, you know, this book of continuance. How can I continue my faith? Well, you need to look into that mirror of God's Word, and when it shows you something, you have to be honest with that and fix it. And when we do that, that leads to the righteousness of God. Because that's what he's trying to get us to accept here. You know, to produce the righteousness of God. So we have something very interesting here if we're willing to look at it. And so when we think about these three questions, you know, why do we look in a mirror? What do we see in the mirror? And are we willing to change what we see to achieve the righteousness of God? All right, so number one here, you know, why we look in the mirror? Why do we look in the mirror? Again, there's many reasons we look in a mirror. You know, we need a mirror to constantly remind ourselves what we are. Just like looking in the physical mirror to see if something's wrong, we look into the Word of God to see if something's wrong. And one thing that is kind of an extension on here, we look into the mirror of God's Word to see if we're clothed properly. Galatians chapter 3. I think I hit the wrong button. Ah, there we go. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, of course, tells us, for you all were baptized into Christ. Those who've done that have clothed themselves with Christ. When we have that illustration there of being clothed with Christ, you know, that's where it starts. So I'm looking in the mirror to see if I'm clothed properly first of all, right? I need to see if I'm clothed properly. I need to look in the mirror of God's Word to see if I'm clothed with Christ. That's going to be the standard to let me know what to do, how to get clothed in Christ, right? I do so when I obey the gospel, when I'm baptized into Christ. But also, a kind of a further illustration here that we see throughout the Bible, I think is very important for us to understand. If you go to 2 Peter, here's just an example. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Now, I mentioned this morning, 2 Peter has three chapters. Chapter 1, good way to remember, it's all about the right story. Chapter 2 is all about the wrong story. Chapter 3 is, be careful which story you listen to. Jesus is coming back. Well, so in this chapter here, he's warning us of not listening. You know, make sure you don't listen to the wrong story. He talks about false prophets, false teachers as he begins the chapter here. And then at the end of the chapter, he's going to quote the Proverbs, saying basically, you can fall from grace. It's like a dog returning to his vomit, that vivid imagery there. It's like a sow having been washed, returning to the mud, right? So that's what's going on in here in this chapter. And then we get this discussion of sin if we listen to the wrong story. And just read it with me, verse 13 here, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who cannot pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deception while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. So this illustration that we see throughout Scripture is the idea of first being clothed properly. This carries back to the Old Testament, where the high priest, the priests had they had very specific instructions on their robes, right? It's a picture of redemption for us. And it's this idea carried out through Scripture, you know, having those clean robes on, you know, Revelation 1 and verse 5, Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, you know, the being washed in the blood of the Lamb, having those clean robes on. You know, when we're clothed with Christ in baptism, we get that clean robe, if you will. But sin can stain it. So in other words, in this illustration here in James, is take a look in the mirror. Think about any sin that you might be struggling with. And be honest. The Word of God, that mirror is going to point out your reflection concerning those spots, those blemishes of sin on you. That's why we look in the mirror. Number two, when we think about this, you know, what do we see when we look in the mirror? Now, I want you to note here, as you're reading the text, the word for look here doesn't mean just take a passing glance. No, this is talking about to look intently with close examination, looking deeply at your reflection. If I see something again, you know, stuck in my teeth or my hair's messed up, you know, what am I going to do? Right? So I'm looking for issues. I'm looking for problems that I need to fix when I'm looking into that mirror. Again, it'd be silly if I saw a problem and just walk away. It'd be silly if I just ignored it or got mad at the mirror or something like that. No, we go to the mirror to look for a problem and to be honest with what we see. Use the mirror, the word of truth, to see if we're wrong. And if I observe something wrong, you know, again, I can take one of three actions. You know, I can get upset with the word of God, blame the mirror, blame the messenger, or accept what I see as being out of place, or I can do nothing and just walk away. Again, verses 22 and following here in James 1. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away immediately, forgets what kind of man he was. You know, James warns us in chapter 4, verse 17, where we read, therefore to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Contextually, that's still concerning our response. Our response to the Word of God, our response to taking action, chapter 2, concerning our faith, chapter 3, our response to, you know, how we get along with the brethren, and so on. Doing nothing is the one who just hears the Word of truth, takes no action, forgets what he looks like as soon as he walks away. Number 3 here, finally, you know, are we willing to change what we see to achieve the righteousness of God? Because that's our goal. That's our goal in all of this, is to achieve the righteousness of God. You know, we have that determination. I want to achieve the righteousness of God. And I hope that's your goal. I hope that's your intent, your desire each and every day. I want to achieve the righteousness of God. Well, James here is helping us out. Well, you need to take that mirror of God's word. You need to look intently into it and be honest with your response and what you see. Whether it's sin, whether it's taking action concerning your faith, whether it's how you treat your brethren, so on and so forth. And are you willing to change what you see? And again, if not, I'm like this man here in verse 24, immediately forgetting what kind of person I am. You know, I've done that before. I've examined myself in the mirror of God's word, and I found myself coming up short. I was severely lacking in my reflection. You know, I wasn't a doer of the word. I was a hearer only, and I'm sure we've all been there. I needed to repent and fix what was wrong. The law of liberty here in verse 25, It takes more than just a glancing look. It takes a deep, deep examination. Listen to verse 25 again. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Just like the one who's blessed back here in verse 12, the one that endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised. He's promised. So am I willing to change what I see when I'm looking into this standard, the word of God, the word of truth, that perfect law of liberty, that implanted word which is able to save my soul? You know, and Jesus wants to know what steps we're willing to take, you know, what trials we're willing to endure, what temptations we're willing to overcome, you know, how humble we're willing to make ourselves to accept the word of truth, to achieve the righteousness of God that's able to save our souls. Now, I want you to look here at the screen. And I want you to note in all of this, we're comparing two groups of people. We're comparing two groups of people in all of this, and you know, and decide where you are. This is one of those things, if you're going to continue in your faith, you need to be honest with this right here. This is what James is, in the narrative here, he's compelling us to decide. What group are we in? And once we have it up here, you know, maybe it'll make a little bit more sense to us. We have on one hand the doers of the word, and then on the other hand, we have hearers only. We have those who humble themselves. We have those who exalt themselves. Now just stop for a minute there. Jump over here to chapter 4. You see, if I know this, then chapter 4 right here, this makes a whole lot more sense now when I read it. In chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, but he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. See, now it starts to make a little more sense, doesn't it? What's going on here in chapter 4? Right, I'm trying to think, which group am I in? Am I, you know, a doer of the word or hearer only? Will I humble myself or will I exalt myself? Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's the second time we've heard that. Being double-minded, being like that wave that's tossed to and fro there in chapter 1 as it begins. He's like that individual that looks into the mirror, the mirror of God's word, sees and then just forgets who he is when he walks away. Double-minded. Double-minded in, do I trust God or don't I trust God to give me the wisdom that I need to overcome temptation? You see how it all starts to go together here? Lament, mourn, verse 9, weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Which group are you in? If James is the book of continuance, how I continue my faith, I got to start asking and answering these questions. What group am I in? And once I start to see it, you know, and all of these things we're going to look at, you know, this discussion of your life is but a vapor here for a little while and gone. For the folks saying, I'm going to do this, 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 and this, instead of saying, if it's God's will, I'll do that. See, we're going to see all that. It starts to make a little more sense. We have those that are quick to hear the word, those who are not. Those who are slow to speak against the word, those who are not. Now stop right there and think about that. Slow to speak against the word of God. Who would speak against the word of God? Let me tell you, a lot of people. A lot of people, right? Well, that's just your opinion of that. No, that's what it says here in black and white. Well, I just don't agree with that. Well, it's not me you're disagreeing with. You're disagreeing with God. There's a lot of people that'll speak against the word of God. A lot of people. Unfortunately, many brethren. will speak against the Word of God. Now, they'll agree with all this other stuff until it steps on their toes or it's contradicting their lifestyle or their pet belief project they may have or whatever it is. They will speak against the Word of God and even get angry against the Word of God. I've seen that response. So are you slow to anger against the Word of God? I pray that you are. And then finally, those who achieve the righteousness of God and those who do not. So if I'm here only, I exalt myself. It's all about me. I'm not going to humble myself before God and His Word. You know, I'm not quick to hear the Word of God. I'm quick to speak against it and get angry against the Word of God. I will not achieve the righteousness of God. But on the other side of that, I'm a doer of the Word. You know, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to listen to the Word of God. I'm not going to speak against it. I'm not going to get angry. I will achieve the righteousness of God. That implanted Word that's able to save my soul. But I've got to be willing to look into that mirror of God's Word. And so as we examine ourselves in the mirror today, every day, you know, what's our response? What's our response going to be? Now, real quick here, I want you to note this. Verses 26 and 27. I think lots of times we don't really understand why those two verses are there. We don't really get the full impact of their meaning when we look at those two verses. You see, James here gives us examples in verses 26 and 27. Again, he's describing two different types of people. So verse 26, here's an example. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Now, you know, I think you can just fill in the blank here. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not, just fill in the blank. Kind of like in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20, you can't love God and mammon. I think mammon's one of those you can fill in the blank things. You know, you can't love God and fill in the blank, but there's a whole lot of things there. To me, it's kind of like that here. Right? If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not, you know, change the sin in his life or accept the word of truth for what it is, you know, gets angry at the word of God when it steps on his toes and so on and so forth. I think we have an example here. Now, the principle's true, of course. If you don't bridle your tongue, you deceive in your heart, your religion is useless. But I really think here it's kind of a fill in the blank for a lot of things, especially here in the context. All right, then you have a second example here, verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the word, from the world. You know, that's what a doer looks like right there. That's someone that's taken the Word of God, humbled themselves to the Word of God, allowing it to work its purpose on them. They're going to have an active faith here. But again, I think this is a kind of fill in the blank, if you will. You know, you're going to have this faith that is willing to change the sin in your life and take action for the betterment of others, helping the widows and the orphans. So hopefully you see my point in that. You know, accepting the word of truth, you know, even when it speaks against his lifestyle or such things like that here. So, you know, on the great day of judgment, let's end with this thought. And I do wear glasses sometimes when I need to see far. I don't have them on right now. I'm thinking that saying it's either 40 or 45 after. I don't know here. I can kind of squint. But we'll just read one more passage here, and the lesson is yours. Go back in your Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. You know, on the great day of judgment, we're going to stand before the Lord and give an account of our lives. I hear on this earth, Satan's going to be there to accuse us. And here we have a picture of redemption in the book of Zechariah. What's interesting, kind of a side note here, Zechariah's name means the Lord remembers. Isn't that neat? It's really neat if you start to understand what's going on in this book here. The Lord remembers. He remembers his people captive, Judah, right? And so chapter 3 in the book of Zechariah here, we're getting a window into the day of judgment, the activity of God and the activity of Satan. I want you to think about this theme of being clothed properly, having a clean robe on, washed in the blood of the Lamb. So have that imagery with you. Have the imagery of Jesus, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, there as your advocate on the day of judgment, right? Let's just read five verses here. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. I believe that to be the pre-incarnate Christ. And Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him or accuse him. That's Satan's job. So picture that, a courtroom scene. And you're there, it's your turn, day of judgment. Satan is there to accuse you of having a sin problem. Now think about it, he might be right. Unless you've taken steps with the advocate, your lawyer, if you will, Jesus, to help you out. You got to get those clothes cleaned, and you got to keep them clean. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who was chosen rebuke you. Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes." Very reminiscent of Isaiah 6, by the way, if you're taking notes. And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. So picture that day of judgment. It's your turn. What do those garments look like? Are you even wearing the garments? Have you been clothed with Christ in baptism? That's where it begins, of course. You get those clean robes, spiritual robes, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now, the thing about it is, we got to be honest, along the way, until we get to this day, it's going to get dirty, isn't it? Some stains, some blemishes. We give in to temptation. We fall short of the glory of God. But Jesus is there, our advocate. And if we're walking in the light as he's in the light, we're doing our best to allow the Word of God, the mirror of God's Word, to be at the forefront of our spiritual lives, telling us what we need to do to clean those garments, we're going to be okay. We're going to have the advocate there saying, "No, he's good. I've got him covered." Very powerful imagery here in the book of Zechariah. God remembers. This evening, if you're subject to the gospel invitation, that's available to you to put on Christ in baptism. If you've done that and you've fallen away and you're ready to come back home, you want the prayers of this congregation. If it's a matter of sin that was of a public matter, we'll bring it before the church. We'll love you. We'll pray for you. If it's a private matter, go to God right now and pray that prayer of repentance. What a wonderful thought to know that all of us could leave this assembly justified in the eyes of God. If you have a spiritual need, please don't hesitate. Let someone know as we stand, as we sing.